This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Drill, baby, drill is no longer just a campaign slogan. Could be the Obama administration's new policy for much of the Atlantic coast. 2 weeks ago, the White House unveiled a plan to open up more than 160 million acres of ocean floor to oil exploration and possible drilling. The plan includes North Carolina's coastline and those of our neighboring states, exempt are parts of the North Atlantic and a portion of Florida's eastern Gulf. Those shores apparently left out as concessions to influential senators. Clearly, North Carolina's politicians aren't making as much noise about offshore drilling as they used to. As part of our series, North Carolina Voices, Tomorrow's Energy, we're going to talk about the politics of offshore drilling. And joining me now are Barbara Barrett and Scott Harper. Barb is the Washington correspondent for the News and Observer and the Charlotte Observer. Scott is a reporter for the Virginian Pilot newspaper in Norfolk. And I want to thank both of you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
No problem.
Hey, Barb, North Carolina politicians used to be united in their strong opposition to offshore drilling. What has happened?
You're right. They did used to be united in their opposition. I think we started to see some weakening of that during the last presidential election. If you'll remember, in 2008, gas was topping out at $4 a gallon, and people were afraid it was climbing higher. We were just seeing the beginnings of the recession. Beverly Perdue, when she was running for governor, issued a statement that June saying she was 100% opposed to offshore drilling. Right about that time, a poll came out that said, 66% of North Carolinians support offshore drilling. It just started weakening. She then decided that August, maybe I'll appoint a panel. The Republican candidate, Pat McCrory, said that he was in favor of offshore drilling. And of course, you'll remember, as you mentioned, the chance of drill, baby, drill during that campaign. So I think it started then, and then with the recession, it really hasn't changed. People, even though gas prices are lower, people are still really nervous about their dollars, and they think that this might be a solution.
Well, politicians seem to be reading political winds, which have shifted. I want to get a sense of how things are going in Virginia, Scott. Give us a sense of kind of a timeline of political will toward offshore drilling in Virginia.
Well, this really started maybe in 2005, mm-hmm. and it came out at a time where there was some pressure in Congress to lift the Outer Continental Shelf ban, and Virginia at the time had two Republican senators who were very much interested in perhaps taking a look at that. And so, and it all kind of started when there were two Democratic administrations. Mark Warner was the governor back then, and then followed by Tim Kaine. And both of those guys kind of tread lightly on this idea, while there was an undercurrent of political support from, especially business groups and Republicans, to make it happen. And the Democrats kind of tiptoed around it and said that, we will support, exploration, but not necessarily drilling. And we would like to see just natural gas, not oil. And which, when under the way offshore leasing rules apply, that doesn't work. I mean, if you get a lease, you get to explore and drill, and you look for natural gas and oil. It's not an either or. So they kind of tread around that. And then with the new governor, the Republican governor, Bob McDonnell, who was won election, took office in January, he was very, very pro, let's get moving on this, has been pressuring the Interior Secretary, Mr. Salazar, to make it happen, and was very, very pleased when Obama made his announcement.
Well, Barb, I read in your piece about this that you quoted Beverly Perdue as saying the state is aggressively engaged. She really used that phrase?
I thought that was interesting as well, engaged. I mean, she's clearly paying a lot of attention to this.
Aggressively,
yes. Yeah. She has appointed this panel. They are studying this. She said in her statement there were several things that she wanted to make sure happened. She wanted to make sure that if offshore drilling were to happen, It would protect our resources, but our economic, our tourism, our natural resources. She wanted to make sure that North Carolina could share in the revenues so that there was a little money in it. And she wanted to, as she said, maintain the opportunity to explore other types of energy. Your listeners probably know that North Carolina is already sort of dabbling a little bit in trying to figure out whether we can capture some of the wind that we have off of our coastline. So she wants to make sure that those things can happen at the same time. So she's paying attention, but she's not aggressively opposed, which you might have heard someone, a Democrat, say maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, and her not even that long ago. And so to be aggressive, you really have to have a point of view and an end point. You have to have a goal. So you can't really be aggressive unless you've got a place to go. And it sounds like they're shifting. And Scott, you've heard that kind of language shift in Virginia. You know, we're just maybe a few years behind in terms of the way the political will has shifted.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the things that Governor Perdue was saying are very much what are the two previous Democrats who were in governor's mansions here in Virginia were saying back in 05, 06, and then when Kaine was in. Yeah, it's very similar.
Well, and let's talk about some of these provisions that we're hearing. But, you know, all the politics. Mark Basnight down here in the Senate is saying, well, okay, it's okay if you drill as long as we get compensated for any mess that might get made. And the other thing I think, Scott, we're hearing up in Virginia, yeah, it's okay to drill as long as we get our share of the revenue. How much of that is in the legislation and how much can there be in legislation? Let's start with revenue sharing, Scott.
Okay, that's a good one. The Virginia General Assembly passed a bill this past winter where they are already, I mean, talk about counting your chickens before they're hatched, they're already saying where they're going to spend this revenue. Unfortunately, again, under the way offshore lease rules work, Virginia would get zero money if drilling were done tomorrow.
Yeah, and 80% of that goes to roads.
80% to roads, 20% for alternative research. But so 20% of zero and 80% of zero basically what they were talking about. Yeah. But then they're also making the argument that, well, okay, we're just laying the groundwork for Congress to move and allow us revenue sharing the way that they've done in the Gulf Coast. And but, you know, anyone who's followed revenue sharing in Congress would know that getting that changed where you have a state share is very difficult and takes a long time.
Well, what about that, Barb? Given these, I mean, all that's at stake here, could we see a change now to try to get these underground, these offshore areas open to drilling?
I don't know if the legislature is quite to where in North Carolina, because I don't cover the legislature, to where they are actually seeking let's go and plant a bunch of wells out there. But I think they're to the point of, look, if it's going to happen, then let's get a piece of this. Let's see what we can do to make this work for us.
Yeah,
not only Perdue, Basnight has a legislative commission, and as you mentioned, he has been strongly opposed. He told me a couple of years ago, I don't want any part of this. I don't care how good the economic benefits are. I don't want it. And even in our recent story, he said, look, the onshore production facilities are ugly. I don't like it. But as you mentioned, he said, but if something bad happens, we want to be compensated for it. So there's clearly the weakening there. So I don't hear him yet saying, oh, yeah, I want to go out there and start planting these wells. But they clearly are recognizing what's happening and seeing if they can make the most of it.
And let's talk about what might be in this for the Obama administration. The sense is that he is conceding offshore drilling to win over GOP votes on a comprehensive climate change bill. Is that what you're hearing, Barb, in Washington? Is that the sense of what's going on?
I think he's clearly trying to set up a starting point for the climate change legislation that's coming up. I mean, this is going to be a huge, massive bill. It's got a lot of moving parts. Offshore drilling is going to be part of this. Immediately after he put this out, there was some strong pushback from some in the Republican leadership. You know, John Boehner, the leading Republican in the House, said, look, this isn't nearly enough. Basically, what he's saying is that he's closing off other areas like California, parts of Alaska. But I think Obama's also looking beyond the individual members of Congress to voters to sort of send that message, look, I'm willing to compromise. I am not just this far left-wing liberal who wants to close everything off. I recognize that there are fossil fuels out there and that maybe we need them. So I think he's trying to do what he can with Congress, but I think he's also trying to look beyond Congress to the populace as well.
Well, and if it was political will or popular sentiment that got Democrats to change in the first place, maybe he's hoping that it comes bottom up. Scott, let me talk to you about Virginia, because a big roadblock to drilling in Virginia has been the Navy. Talk about that.
Yeah, that was that is an important part of this, because when Obama and then Interior Department Director Salazar made their announcement about this, there was a little caveat in there that said that, you know, if, you know, this doesn't get in the way of military training and national security, and that's kind of code for if the Navy goes along with this.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of ship training and a lot of activity out there that the Navy does just in those areas that where this is proposed, which is at least 50 miles offshore. And the Navy, you know, after all these years of talking and meeting and negotiating, still is not on board with this, and has written and to their various leaders and stuff, and talking to the negotiators at the state and federal level that, look, we're not there yet. You know, we're not convinced that we can, you know, we're not going to have intrusion there. So that still is a big hurdle that has to be jumped.
All right, Barb and Scott, thank you very much for this. We will check in regularly, and thanks so much for talking with us today.
You're welcome. Take care.
Barb Barrett is the Washington correspondent for the News and Observer and Charlotte Observer. Scott Harper is a reporter for the Virginian Pilot newspaper. Just ahead, can opera teach kids how to solve social problems? Some professors at UNC Chapel Hill think so. You'll find out why on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.